The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians, Paul, one of the primary themes of that book is joy. And he tells them in the first verse, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, write the same thing to you again is not a problem. I'm just going to keep telling you that as a safeguard to you. One of the things we have to keep doing over and over as we learn is through repetition. That's what Paul is saying. So we just keep kind of repeating the same truths over and over again so that they become indeed real to us. Then he gave this church a warning. He said, be aware of the false teachers who are coming in and trying to teach you false things and whatever. And we do not come to know God through works. And there were those who were coming in and saying we needed to do the works. We needed to do, in this case, it was circumcision. Many of those in the world that Paul was writing these to were saying you got to first become a Jew before you can become a Christian. And so they wanted to add all the laws and everything to it. Paul said these are false teachers, folks. And instead, there are still all kind of false teachers in our world today who are telling us that you've got to do this thing and that thing and all of that in order to achieve some kind of relationship with God. And Paul reminds them, he said, if anybody could claim to have a relationship to God based upon what they did, I would be the person. You know, because in verse 3, he said, for we are true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and the glory of Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of Hebrews, that's the law of Pharisees, that's to zeal, a persecutor of the church, that's to righteousness, which is of the law found blameless. Paul said, I had an obsession to live for God and a zeal to live for God even before I came to know Christ. But then there's a big word there in the seventh verse. It says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted lost for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, therefore, let us all of us who are perfect or mature, let's have this attitude. And if there's anything any different, God will reveal it to us. But verse 17, he says, but join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. Father, again, we're grateful for the day of worship. We ask that you would open our minds and our hearts to understand what you would have us to do, that you would speak to us this day and draw us to the place of surrender to your lordship, and that we would commit ourselves to coming to know you better and pursuing the things in which you want to happen. In Jesus' name, we pray. Any of you are here remember World War II and the events that led up to that war? You know, a man by the name of Hitler rose to power in Germany, and he seemed to be able to cast a spell on his people. As he spoke, people just seemed to be that he had a charisma about him that just attracted people to him and to his commands, and they proclaimed him as a great hero and a great leader in all the world. But from all I've known about and read about Hitler and heard about him, there was one thing that drew him to become the man he was. He had an obsession. An obsession for power, an obsession to rule the world. He wanted to elevate Germany to the greatest power in all of the earth, and, you know, he wanted to have a pure race of Aryan people. He had an obsession to be the master race and to rule over the rest of the world for the next 1,000 years. And that obsession shook and shaped the world. Tragically, as we look back on it now, we know he shook it for evil. Literally bathed this world in blood. But he was a man consumed with a passion, but a passion for evil. And I think so it is in life and in history and all of our world, as those who seem to accomplish something and to go somewhere to do something are those who have a passion, an obsession, you might say, who give themselves undividedly and wholeheartedly to the task in which they have set themselves to do. I really believe that's the secret to greatness. Now, we read here in this passage of Scripture today of another man who had an obsession. And, you know, it was the Apostle Paul. And Paul goes on to basically tell us that he has an obsession. He said, and it is this one thing I do. You know, he's talking about that which guided his life. And he had a goal. He was continually striving to reach that goal, to accomplish that goal, no matter what took place or what happened. Everything else was considered to be waste and dung and, you know, to be cast out in view of the surpassing value of really knowing Jesus and coming to trust him and living for him and knowing him above everything else in all of the world. You know, now, Paul was a man of obsession. Even before he became a Christian, he was obsessed with living for God and having a zeal and doing what God wanted him to do. And he was convinced he was doing the right thing, even to the point of persecuting the church of Jesus. And then all that time he was, you know, from his own testimony, he was kicking back against the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But there came a point when he was converted. You know the story of Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road. And when he came to know God, and I tell you what happened is that from when he began to understand that Jesus Christ really and truly was God and that he had been wrong in all of these other things, it didn't stop his zeal. It just turned it in a different direction. Instead of being a zeal for the Jews and for the law and for righteous living based upon the law, he suddenly had a new zeal and a passion and an obsession to be able to live for Christ. I remember when I was a teenager, I read a book called The Magnificent Obsession. And it was about a doctor who gave his life away for somebody. And it was a movie about, you know, made from that book. You know, and I don't remember all the details about it, but I'm telling you, as I look at Paul's life, he had a magnificent obsession. You know, it was one which he gave himself totally away unto the Lord. The greatest goal in his life was come to know Jesus Christ and to live for him better and to be obedient to him in everything in all of his world. It was the greatest cause for living that anyone has ever come up with. It was the greatest thing that a person could ever give his life for. And I believe with all of my heart, with all of my soul, if we're a Christian, if we're ever going to accomplish greatness for God, if we're going to be the kind of church God wants us to be, if we're going to be the kind of Christian individual God wants us to be, then we too need to have this magnificent obsession to put Jesus Christ first within our lives. Now, basically, what is that obsession? Well, Paul basically tells us, he said, all the things that I've gained in the past, I count them but as loss for the sake of Christ. And I want you to know, I want to know Jesus. I want to know the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I may be found in him, not having a righteousness my own derived from the law, but now a righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death in order that I may obtain from the resurrection of the dead. Now, that's familiar passage of Scripture. We read that passage over and over again. Every one of us who are here this morning have heard that again and again in all of our life, telling us that that's what we really need to do. But the truth is, we need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to bring it home to our hearts and to our lives and say, literally, this needs to become our obsession in our own personal lives. And we are to give everything away in order to be able to do that. I believe that what Paul is saying in this text is this: I have but one goal. And that goal is that I might live every day at his fullest for Jesus Christ. And I might know him, might be surrendered to him, I might serve him, I might reflect him, I might magnify him, and I would lift him up in everything that I do. That was the one obsession: to give his all to Jesus Christ and to serve him to the best of his ability, to serve him with everything that he had. He made a full and complete commitment and surrender of his life to Jesus Christ, and nothing else mattered more than that. Now, sometimes the preacher stands here, and I've said this, I don't know how many times, probably 1,000 times in the ministry, you know, that we need to give ourselves totally and completely to Jesus Christ, and everybody's saying, amen, I agree, we need to do that. And then we walk out and the other things of the world consume us to the point that we live by our feelings or what we want to do at this moment. And we know we need to commit it fully to Christ. We know we need to make a decision to say, Jesus is really my Lord, and I need to surrender to him, and I need to give my life to him, and I need to be totally obedient to his will and to follow him in everything. And in our minds and in our hearts, we agree that that's the right thing to do. But in each of us, there comes those errors and moments in our lives in which we have to make deliberate decisions of our will to surrender them totally and completely to Jesus Christ. And the life we really want as God's people, the life that brings us the deepest joy, the deepest satisfaction, and the greatest significance in this world, is only the life that is completely and totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the obsession that ought to consume all of us. Now, Paul goes on to say, but you understand, I haven't reached it yet. I've got a goal, and he gives us a formula for reaching that goal. He basically says, this is one thing that I do. Not that I've obtained it, or if I become perfect or mature, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which I was laid hold by Christ Jesus. I don't give up. I just keep pressing on. I just keep striving on. I just keep on keeping on. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul tells us, first of all, he said, for it's a part of a formula. Forget what lies behind and press forward to what lies ahead. Now, I believe with all of my heart that as a church at Warrensport Baptist Church right now, that we have to keep pressing on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that's what God's called us to do at this point. Even in the midst of crisis, when we don't know what we're doing, where we're going, or what kind of decisions we're going to make, I'm certain of the fact that God is telling us, press on. There's a victory in the future. There's better things in the future. There's going to be an answer to all the things that we're facing. There's going to be greater things out there. It's going to be wonderful. And so we need to keep on keeping on, folks. We can't get so discouraged that we, you know, just throw our hands up and say, well, what's the use? And we are worrying about where the resources are coming from and where all these things are going to happen. We just have to keep pressing on towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, but also a part of the formula is he said, forgetting the things that are left behind. Now, some things we ought not to forget, okay? If we got some debts, we ought not to forget them, okay? I mean, just some practical things in this world. There are some things we need to take taken care of. We don't need to forget the wrongs that we can make right. We don't need to forget the mercy of God that He has given us so many times in our lives. We don't need to forget the fact that God has forgiven us of our sins and brought us to the place where we are and who we are as the people of God. Those are the wonderful things that we just have to keep hanging on to and the great memories that are there. But for those of us that are Christians, when it's talking about pressing on towards the goal of the prize of God, there are some things we need to forget. You know, we need to forget the wrongs that's been done to us. Whether they're real or whether they're imaginary. Folks, if we got that place of unforgiveness going on in our life, I'm telling you, it will drain us and destroy us like acid eating through a bucket. We have to be able to forgive the wrongs that's been done to us in order to be able to move forward for the glory of God and for the goals in which He's given us. And then I think sometimes we have to forget the failures that we have seen happen in our lives in the past. And if we're human, we've all been there and we've all had those failures. And sometimes we're still living with the consequences of the failures in which we made in the past. But folks, there, you know, if God has forgiven us, we can move forward. And we can forget those failures. You know, failures will cripple us. And I don't know how many times I've seen that as a church when we say, well, we tried it that way before and it didn't work. We failed. That doesn't necessarily mean you shouldn't do it again. You know, there may have been a lot of other reasons why the failures were there. But, you know, what we have to do is to forget those times in which we failed and look at what God wants us to do now in the future as we make decisions. And then I also believe that we ought to forget the achievements of the past. You ever have a testimony meeting and say, well, and the only testimonies you hear is, well, I got saved when I was 14 years old in a revival and old brother so-and-so was preaching. And our whole life, we've been sitting on a pew ever since we got saved and done nothing for God but sit on that pew. And yet we're still living out of the achievement of that salvation when I was a teenage kid. Or we can look back at maybe some great things that's happened in the church. There was a day in which old brother so-and-so was here and, you know, things were really going well and we were seeing people saved and God was blessing. It was beyond measure and we were doing all of these things and now we're not doing anything, you know. But we can lock on to the failures or to the achievements. And if we hang on to those, both of them will cripple us and keep us from doing what God wants us to do in the present. There are some things that in the past in this church we ought to be celebrating and praising God. You hadn't been here over 100 years without great reason to praise God for all the wonderful and good things which God has done in this place. But folks, we're at the point we have to decide what is it He wants us to do towards the future. And to be honest with you, God gets the glory for everything done in the past, and we're not taken away from that at all. But what we can't live in the past anymore. We have to move forward to what God wants us to do at this moment. What does God want right now for us? Well, in the midst of the crisis we're facing and all the circumstances that are here, what does He want? I'm not standing up here and telling you what that is because I don't know at this moment. But I do know that there's a future for us. I do know that there is a victory out there. I know it can be better than it's been. And that, you know, we need to be pressing towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Reaching towards what God wants us to do. And I'm going to tell you, I believe with all of my heart, if Jesus Christ tarries and doesn't come back, that the future of this church can be greater than the past has ever been. Why? Because God is at work. And because God is here. And because God's not limited. And because, you know, when we surrender ourselves to Him above everything else, to know Him and be surrendered to Him and to obey Him and to do what He wants us to do, folks, we can press on towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, really, these words in this text were taken out of the context of the Greek world. And the Olympic Games started. And the rules in the Olympic Games was that there could be 10 months of training. They were limited to 10 months of training before the Games started. They would train with the weights and train with all kinds of things. And they would run, they would get in shape, and they would work to get in shape. But when it came time for the Games to happen, they would strip themselves aside of all the things that had held them back. All of the training that they had done in the past at that moment didn't matter anymore. Either they were ready or they were not. But they were at the moment they had to do something. And what it does is pictures a racer in the race. And when he sees the goal line, you ever watch track? And it seems like these guys are giving it everything they have. They're running, they've set the pace, they're doing it. But when they lay sight on the goal, folks, they kick into second gear. And with every ounce of energy, they begin to strive with new power, with new energy, with a new speed in order to be able to cross that line and to win the crown of victory. Well, this is what the words are describing here. We're there in the final moments of the race. And with every ounce of energy, we're pressing on towards the prize of the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. With everything within us, with every ounce of energy, with our blood flowing, with the oxygen level going, we committed to Jesus Christ, and we're looking out towards the future. And whatever price it takes, whatever we have to do, we're going to pay the price. We're going to move forward. We're going to reach the goal, and we're going to bring glory unto Jesus Christ with everything in which we have, to be able to honor Him above all things that is to come. Now, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, folks, people who are mature Christians, that's the attitude we ought to have. And then he said in verse 17, follow my example. He said, this is the way I've lived. You know, I view all things gained to me in the past as lost for the sake of Christ. You know, for the sake of Christ, for His glory. Not for us, not for the, you know, glory of anybody or anything that's gone on in the past. You know. And I get thinking about, we give memorials to people to remember things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what I'm convinced of, the people in heaven don't give a toot about memorials. They're for us. You know, not them. They got more than, you know, they've already gone to heaven. They've already got the goal. You know. And they've already got the reward for what they did. So we, you know, what we got to do is count all things in loss of view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus above everything else. The surpassing value of knowing Him as Lord and suffer the loss of all things. Count them but as rubbish. The King James uses the word dung there. Actually, if you were raised kind of on a halfway farm like I was, you clean out the barn. There's a big pile out there beside the barn. You know, and that's what Paul said, all those things I've lived for and I've worked for and I've tried to achieve through my own righteousness. He said, all they're good for is to be put on the pile by the barn, the dunghill. They're nothing but rubbish, but garbage, and we can throw them aside. He said, but now what we want to be found in Christ, in Him, a righteousness not from my own and from what I've done and from all the things in which I'm doing, but rather a righteousness that is not from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. A righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. And folks, Paul said, when we're mature as Christians, that's our attitude. And he said, join me in verse 17. And following my example, to truly put Jesus Christ first and to press on towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know the immediate decisions that we'll have to make in order to do that, but I know that that's what we have to do. We have to be committed to say, whatever it takes, we're going to press on towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now that comes through the surrender of our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord. As we come to this invitation, that's what the invitation is open, that we'll commit ourselves to do what God wants us to do. That we'll seek Him above everything else. And we'll seek to honor Him above everything else. That He would get the glory and the praise. And we, you know, somewhere in the future, how long, I don't know, we look back and say, God really did something. But it'll happen only as we surrender to His Lordship and become committed as a church to do what God wants us to do. Now, there's some of you here that need to make a decision to come to Christ for the first time, to follow Him in repentance of your sin and by faith receiving Him as Savior and Lord, following Him in believer's baptism at the command of Christ, being obedient to Him and what He wants us to do and being part of this church and say, I'm going to be a part of what God's doing. I'm going to put Him first in my life. There's some of you here that need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to press on towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm willing to do whatever it takes in order that we can do what God wants us to do. God, change me, help me, mold me, make me so that I'll be willing to do whatever it is God leads us to do. Some of you need to make that kind of decision. But as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, I would ask that you would do what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do, and that He would receive the glory. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You're a God who loves us and has died for us, and who not only that, but who's filled us with Your Holy Spirit and has challenged us to accomplish Your will in this world. And so we ask You would bring us to the place that we would know how to do that, and that You would be glorified and honored by what we do. Bring us to the place of surrender so that we can do what You would have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.